Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 as we start a whole new chapter of this book here, which has been a great book for me personally, because I think the one who gets the most out of his word is the one who teaches it. Because when I study it, man, it's very convicting and very encouraging for me, especially the ministry of Jesus. And so let's pray and let's ask the Lord to bless us this morning. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together, Lord, to break bread with one another, Lord, to break fellowship with one another, to have communion, that sweet koinonia with one another. And Lord, as the word goes forth, may it prepare our hearts for communion, for that touching of remembering what you did for us when you walked this earth, Lord, and that we can walk worthy of a calling that you have called us. And so, Lord, bless us and let your word impact our life. Now, we're going to be talking about, Father, a subject that nobody really wants to hear, especially if it's geared towards us. But it's important that we touch on this subject. Examine ourselves, because that's what you tell us to do. And in Corinthians, that we're to, when we come to the Lord's table, we are to examine ourselves. And so bless us, bless the word, let it not touch the ground, let it pierce our heart. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So Luke chapter 12, as we're going to be touching on a subject of hypocrisy. Something that nobody really wants to touch or wants that type of title. And many people are walking around with hypocrisy. We see it in our leadership, our administration. We see it in lives of people. And if you remember last week, we left off where Jesus, he just got done putting the Pharisees and the scribes, and then even the lawyers jumped in. He put the lawyers in their place, telling them that you guys look good on the outside, but you're corrupt in the inside. And when he told them this, all of a sudden they got very defensive, and they got angry to the point where in the last chapter of 11, the last two verses, it says that the scribes, the Pharisees, they begin to quarrel with Jesus, and they begin to do it furiously. They were mad. They were really angry, and they had that hate and murder in their lives, and they start to cross-examine him about many things. And they were doing it in hoping that they could catch him in something that he might say that they may accuse him. And the whole purpose was about this was, again, Jesus hit him with the word of, with hypocrisy. And so they right away, you know, I find it very amazing that some people just don't want to hear the truth about them when it comes to do with confronting that practice sin that's in their lives or that's going according to the word of God. People just don't want to hear it. And you know when someone is guilty, when they try to take the focus off themselves and their sin and put it on the person who's confronting them. Just like these religious leaders were doing to Jesus. I mean, Jesus was openly confronting that practice sin of hypocrisy that was in their lives. So they try to take the focus off themselves by how? By arguing and trying to make a case and focusing and forcing Jesus to say something that would make him look bad. And then they will be able to accuse him in front of everybody. Everybody will look to Jesus. You know, when Jesus confronted the Pharisees, nobody would do that. Nobody dare confront the leadership of Israel because you would pay the consequences. They were almost scared. And when they heard Jesus confronting them, I'm sure everybody was right there with open ears. They want to hear this. It's funny that in China, this is a custom. One time we were in Tianjin, and there was this group of people all gathered on the corner, and I was wondering, what's going on? And what happens is if you have two individuals who are arguing or they're confronting one another, everybody gathers around and stands there and watches and listens. It's a custom. They don't care. These two people were arguing, but there's this crowd standing around watching them. And so I can imagine how these people were they were there, because it's going to go right into and lead into the next chapter of chapter 11, 12. In fact, let's look at it. Look at verse 1 of chapter 12 now. It says, in the meantime, when a innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there's nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And whatever you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetop. Well, so now we see thousands of people gathering around Jesus. And maybe one of the reasons why, I know they wanted to hear the word of God, but maybe because they wanted to see how he confronted the Pharisees, and they were like amazed by this. But Luke tells us that the crowd was so large, they couldn't even be numbered. They were innumerable. And that word innumerable in the Greek, it means many thousands. So we're talking like 10,000 plus people that were gathering around Jesus. And so there were so many people that they started to press up against one another. They started to trample and stepping upon each other because they were so eager to hear the words of God. They were trying to get so close to Jesus as possible. It probably looked like a Black Friday at the nearest Walmart, right? You ever see the videos when they show it on TV, Black Friday at Walmart? Everybody, they start off with the line. Okay, they got the perfect line. Once that door opens, the line is gone. It's like a bunch of sharks in a frenzy. They had one video that was posted, and people were rushing in all at the same time that they were stuck. And people were falling down, and they were running over and just to get to the TVs and the electronics. Well, this was happening here. They were trampling over people. They were just so that they can hear the words of Jesus. I want you to see something here, something that's taking place in these three verses that we can even apply to our own walk with Jesus. Let me ask you this. When I think of these people trampling over one another just to hear Jesus confront the Pharisees and to hear him speak to his disciples, to hear the words of Jesus, I want to ask you this. How eager and how hungry and thirsty are we for the word of God? How hungry and thirsty are we for fellowship, for ministry, for prayer, for worshiping the Lord? Are we so focused for the word of God that we are pressing and we are eager to hear in the preaching of God's word? Or maybe you're struggling just to hear it or even to get close to Jesus. These Pharisees, these lawyers, these scribes, and the religious leaders, they try to trip Jesus up. But those who are flocking to Jesus, even to the point of trampling over somebody just to hear his words, that was the common people who gathered around Jesus. And you know what? Let me tell you, if you have this type of commitment and desire that you're going to flock to Jesus no matter what, you're not going to let anybody, anything determine your worship of God, I'm going to give you a promise that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what?
Filled.
They shall be what?
Filled.
That's his promise. So as the people were flocking around Jesus, look what Jesus said to his disciples in verse 1 at the bottom. He says, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It's a word two words that nobody wants to hear, but two words that he says he's talking to his disciples. So he's talking to us as well, that we need to take heed. Listen, the word beware here, it means pay attention to. And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. You guys need to pay attention to. You need to be cautious about, even as far as you need to apply oneself to. To take heed in regard to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Now, Jesus, he compares their hypocrisy to leaven. And so Jesus, he is speaking to the disciples here. And, you know, it's probably a good thing that all these other people were there to listen to Jesus, speaking to his disciples, to hear the truth about the religious leaders of Israel. So it's a good thing. He was talking directly to his disciples, but there were thousands of people there gathering around him just to hear him. Now listen to what the word hypocrisy means. In the Greek word, it means hypoxis. Hypoxis, okay? And have any Greek scholars here? Anybody who does speak Greek? Okay, good. And you can't tell if I didn't say it right or wrong then, so it don't matter. Hypoxis. And it's referring to the actors who are acting in the theater who would wear a mask to identify their characters. Therefore, you know, they would be play acting. Now, there's a TV show. I don't watch it, but I see it advertised. And it's called The Masked Singer. I think that's the name of it. You guys seen it?
Yeah.
They dress in a full costume, and they're play acting and singing, and nobody knows who they are. I guess at the end, when they finally decide who's the best one, that then they revealed who that person is. Well, now they got another one out, and it's these reality shows where the people, they have this self-complex about themselves, and they don't want to sing in front of people, which I understand. I don't think I could sing in front of you, or I can sing with you, but I don't know if I can sing a song by myself. Maybe I could. I don't know if God pressed that on my heart. But they would sing behind closed doors, and then this is the scary part. They have this technology where they can make this person into a character of their choice, and it's a hologram where it's in front of the audience, in front of the judge, to a character that's of their choice that moves and facial their mouth and sings their voice. Yeah, and so people are seeing this hologram, but the person's behind closed doors. And so this person can act and put on that mask and be free to move and act without worrying about anybody watching them. And then this commercial, you might have seen it. It was advertising a drug for depression. And it shows these different individuals who are with people. They're eating and they're at a party and so on. And these individuals, they're focusing on this one person who has depression. And you see the depression on their face. They're really down, and you can see it. It's strong. And when the people are talking, conversing to them, pointing to them, they would lift up this mask in front of their face, and it has a smile on it. How many of you seen that? Right? Well, look at the bottom of verse 1 here. It says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. Watch out for the hypocrisy. Watch out for the mask wearing, the play acting of the Pharisees. And not only watch out for it, but apply that warning also to yourself as well. He's talking to the disciples. So he's talking to us. Hey, guys, beware of hypocrisy. Watch out that you don't put on the mask as well, that you're not play acting. Because a lot of Christians are play acting. Because of the danger, I think the danger that often confronts us when things are going well in our life, when your ministry's going well, your job at home, everything is just falling right into place, that you need to make sure that the hypocrisy doesn't overcome you. Or even the opposite. When things seem to not be going well, watch out for hypocrisy. Don't put on a mask that everything is fine when it's not. I always remember what Mike McIntosh said. He said, he told me this, be yourself and let God be himself in you. That's all. Don't be someone you're not. Too many Christians and leaders try to be somebody they're not. I know, I was there. When I first became a pastor, when I was ordained, I thought, wow, this is okay. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. I didn't require it. I didn't look for it. God did it. But I thought, because now I have to act now. I got to act like a pastor. Okay, so all of a sudden, you know, I'm like this. All of a sudden, I stood up straight and tall. You know, I got to act like a pastor now. And I walked around going, holy, you know, I had this type of mask in my life. I thought I got to teach like Chuck Smith. I got to teach like Raul Reese. I got to teach like Mike McIntosh. I got to teach all like these great men of God. And you know what happened? It became a burden. It became a heavy burden in my life because I was falling so short and I was missing the mark. And I didn't like that. And that's when Mike told me, hey, be yourself and let God be himself in you. And he said that this heavy burden was lifted off my shoulders. Wow, you mean I can really be myself? Watch out, world. Watch out, church. Because I was a prankster. And but that really did something to me when I realized I don't have to wear a mask. And so Jesus, he compares the hypocrisy of the Pharisees to leaven. Look at verse 1 at the bottom. Again, it's important. I think the Lord wants us to listen to this. Hey, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, I'm going to share about the leaven here. Leaven was the yeast that was used in when they would bake their bread. It would cause the bread dough to rise by the process of fermentation, which was a chemical breakdown of the yeast once the heat hit it. And then there was this chemical breakdown would take place. So it was actually the rotting of the leaven that Jesus was talking about here. The yeast that was, when it was fermented, it caused this rotting process to release these little pockets of air, which would cause the bread to be puffed up and it would rise. But all it needed, guys, was just a little bit of leaven within the lump of dough and that they were working with. And that little leaven would infect and have an impact upon the whole lump of the dough. The whole lump was affected just by a little piece of leaven. And what they would do during this process is that they would take a little piece of the dough that had the leaven or the yeast in it, and that they would consider that the starter piece. And they would save it, that part, so that when, and they would put it aside so that they would put it in the dough that they would make on the next day. And then they would do that process all over again. Every time they made bread, they would add the yeast, and then they would just take a little piece. This is the starter. So they put it away. The next batch, they take that, put it in that one. So they always save that part and to put it in the next batch. It was just, but the thing of it is just a little leaven. That's all they needed to leaven the whole lump. And you know, I can't help to think about Paul when he warned the believers in Galatians about the leaven that was rising within the church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Listen to this. And I pray that this would seep deep down in your heart. It says, you did run well. He's talking to the believers. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, Paul said, hey, you got to purge out the leaven in your life. He says, you were running well. Who cut in front of you? Now, when Paul mentions this verse here in Galatians chapter 5, he's comparing this verse to a race. And so the saying goes like this. We need to listen this morning. Listen to what I'm going to say here. He says, you were running well, but someone cut into your lane and caused you to stumble and fall. So the question is, what little pieces of leaven in our lives is causing us to be set up for the fall? For you to fall in your lane that you're running in that's leading you to Christ. What is it? What little? It's just a little bit. And it sets us up for the fall. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Let's see how well you know this portion of scripture. Really, the test is for Frank, because I know he's gonna know it. Jesus said this, enter. Enter the narrow gates, right? For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, that lane that we're running in, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. And you know what? Sometimes you can't pick them out. I mean, they're wolves in sheep clothing. They look so good. Sometimes you can't see them and they're in the midst. He says, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree that bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. It's kind of like what Jesus said about the rapture. We don't know the day of the rapture, guys, but we know the times and the seasons. Well, guess what? You're going to know the wolf in sheep clothing by his fruits, because their fruits will be known to them. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and this is us, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, because he taught them as one having authority and not like the scribes, not like the Pharisees, not like the lawyers, not like the Sadducees. So Jesus is warning his disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That hypocrisy that can spread real fast. It just needs a little bit. And it has the effect of rotting and spreading within your relationship with Jesus and your fellowship with the church. Hypocrisy is it's saying one thing and it's doing another. And they were good at that. And I think Paul said it best when he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, hey, in regards to the religious leaders of Israel, hey, they have a form of godliness, but they're denying its power. Guys, the Pharisees were fair, you see. The Sadducees were sad, you see. The scribes were just the early taggers. The lawyers, well, what can you say about lawyers, right? They all claimed to be followers of God. And they thought they were, and they, even though they were leading men to God, they thought they were on the same side, having the same ministry, being involved in the same work that Jesus was doing. Yeah, but their form of godliness was done through their ceremonies, through their rituals. Even their form of worship and the teaching of the word, the preaching of the word, even their doctrine, it was all just a form of godliness, because they were denying the power of God. And Jesus said, hey, how and what they are doing, it was hypocrisy. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because their form of godliness, their religious mask wearing, was so that they could what? Be in right standings before God. It was just a form, and God's way of salvation wasn't done through a form of godliness. You know what a form is? You look and you just see afar off. You can just see a form. You can't distinguish what it is, but you know you see this form. Well, that's, be careful that your walk with God is not just a form. And people are wondering, well, what is that? It's like roadkill. You see roadkill on the ground, and you drive up or you walk by and you say, well, what was that? You don't know. So what Jesus was saying is how what they were doing was hypocrisy. It was, and I think Peter shares it in Acts 15 about religious leaders. You know, he had this divine calling that took place in chapter 5, Acts 15. He shares about what happened in Acts 10 when he was sharing the gospel with the household of Cornelius, who was this Roman centurion. Listen to what he said. He said, so God, who knows the heart, right? Everybody acknowledge that. God knows your heart, right? He says, acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. Now, he's referring to the Gentiles, because the house of Cornelius, they were Gentiles, and the Jews were upset by this. And so he said, hey, God doesn't make no distinction between us and them. He purifies the heart by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by, now here we go, by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither you, neither me, or our forefathers were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. I love what Paul says here. He tells them, hey, neither we or our fathers could even do enough to justify ourselves or to cleanse our sins or to be in right standing by earning God's favor. And so Jesus, hey, and the Pharisees would say, hey, do what I say, but don't do what I do. Hypocrisy. How many people are walking around saying, hey, do what I say, but don't do what I do? Paul said, hey, you who teach others, are you teaching yourself? So not only the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the lawyers, but listen, even the disciples of Jesus were the ones that needed to beware of hypocrisy. Every one of us here this morning, even those who are going to listen on the website, everyone who's in the ministry, everyone who shares the word of God with somebody, who calls himself a Christian, because if you call yourself a Christian, you're a leader because you're an example. You don't necessarily have to be in a leader of the church. You're a leader because you are a Christian. Everyone who calls himself a Christian needs to take heed to what Jesus is saying here. Because why? They were the teachers. They were the preachers. They were the missionaries. They were the ambassadors of Christ of righteousness. They were the ones who were called to proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live the truth. And Jesus is telling us in these first three verses here that everybody's deeds will be exposed. There's nothing going to be hidden or covered up that will remain hidden and covered. Every act, whether it's done in the open or behind closed doors, guys, is going to be recorded and will be revealed and known. And when you stand before Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat of Christ, guess what? You're standing alone. We're not going to be together. You ain't going to have no one next to you. You will stand before Jesus Christ alone. And you're not going to be judged for your sins because he took care of that on the cross. But everything that Jesus is saying here is going to be revealed right in front of us. Everything we did for the Lord that was a form of godliness is going to be burned. It's going to be destroyed. And everything that we did that for the Lord that had the power of God, that is what we will be rewarded for. So again, look at verse 3, because it tells us that every word that we say in the dark, every word that we say behind closed doors, or every word in secret, it's going to be exposed. The words that are spoken or that are whispered in the ear of somebody else in the dark, in secret, or even under our breath, what we say will be proclaimed for all to hear, even if it's through the thought in your mind, you might not have said it, but guess what? You thought it. It will be proclaimed in the light. Something that you got to remember, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. He's talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the lawyers. But he said, hey, you disciples, you need to apply this also. You need to beware that you don't allow hypocrisy to enter your life as well. Because God's going to do great things through them. Jesus was doing great things through them. And it's so easy to get caught up and say, look what I've done. Look what I can do. And then people see it. They flock to you like Jesus. Hey, you know, I want to listen to this guy. I like this guy. I like what he's doing. And that person just gets what? Easy to get puffed up. Say, wow. You know, when somebody says to me, hey, Pastor, that was a great teaching. When you can tell me what was great about it, that brings joy to my heart. It brings excitement. It's like, wow, I ministered. But I can't imagine thousands or more than hundreds of people going up to a man and say, wow, Pastor, praise God, you are awesome. You are this, you're godly. Women say, wow, I wish my husband was like you. And how that hypocrisy can enter into his life and get puffed up and be like that Pharisee. Have a form of godliness, allowing that to have a form, but there's no power in there. Now, guess what? It's burnt by the fire. He's called an eye person. Look what I done. Look what I did. Look what I did for that person. Don't use the word I. Okay? When you do something for the Lord, don't go around saying, I did this, I did that. You say, look what the Lord did. Because that's what's going to be, God's going to be lifted up and glorified. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, I'm going to leave you with this. The reason why I had everybody passed out the cup, I'm going to open up the altar here. Before we take communion, give you the opportunity to, by yourself, you and God, to come up here. And if you need to pray to God and ask God to remove the leaven, a little leaven that's in your life, that's rotting the whole lump, whatever you're dealing with in your life, you need to get rid of, this is going to be the opportunity for you to do that. I'm going to share with you Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to what the Lord's saying, because he's saying it to you, the church. He said, come, let's talk this over, saith the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. If you are only willing, let me help you. If you are willing and only obey, then I will make you rich. But if you keep on turning your backs and refusing to listen to me, you will be killed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. If you have any stain in your life right now, if there's any leaven, a little leaven in your life, and you need to make things right, the Lord's saying, hey, come, let us reason together. I'm going to just come on up. And pour out your heart before the Lord and pray you and the Lord. And then after, we're going to take a few minutes here for allow you to do this as we worship. And then we will take communion together.